Sharpsburg, Franklin.
Are you concerned about your roof? Do you have an active leak or damage from a recent storm? Get a free roof inspection from a licensed professional to put your mind at ease. We provide a free report, quote, and a detailed video with our inspection to give you the most information possible. We can also walk you through the process when filing an insurance claim. Visit our website at roofingdoneright.com or call 678-877-4711. Get your roof inspection done the right way.
Keep your home safe with HomeScan Inspections. Our licensed and accredited professionals know exactly what to look for in order to prevent safety hazards and costly defects that may be found in your home. Ask about our free roof and termite inspections to ensure all areas are covered. Visit HomeScanInspector.com or send a text to 770-855-5678. HomeScan Inspections, where knowing matters.
Buying or selling a house and the inspection has come back with mold? Call the Mold Man, specializing in crawl space and interior mold remediation and encapsulation since 2019. The Mold Man helps realtors get to the closing table by offering a pay at closing program. Visit our website, themoldmanllc.com, to schedule a quote or give us a call at 678-227-9763.
Want to give back to your community in a meaningful way? Cares for Kids is a Keller Williams Realty-founded charity in which 100% of money raised goes directly to children in need in our area. Cares for Kids helps fund local organizations like Angels House, Cowita Casa, Elevate, and more. Help Cares for Kids reach their mission of serving 1 million children. Call 678-634-9770 today to learn more on how to be involved, or text K4K Noonan to 44321 to donate.
You've been considering a career in real estate? At Keller Williams Realty Atlanta Partners, we prepare you to excel in your real estate career by providing award-winning training, family-based culture, and lead generation tools to build a business that lasts. If you're interested in learning about our pre-licensed school or how to get started, call 678-634-9770 or visit our website, atlantapartnersrealestateschool.com, today.
This is Josh Petrantonio of the Columbus River Dragons, your home for River Dragons hockey and Noonan 99 Rock.
You're listening to At Home with Allison, your local expert on real estate, business, and community.
Welcome to the At Home with Allison show on WQEE 99.1 FM. I am so excited. This is episode 6, and yeah, we're a little over a month in, and I'm really enjoying it so far. It's been incredible. And the main goal of this show is really just to give you guys as much knowledge and insight as possible. Ashley and I have been working together for a few years now, and we know firsthand that there's so many things that people just don't know about real estate and about business in general. And we want to be able to share a lot about the selling process today, some about the buying process. So we're going to go into a lot of that. And firstly, welcome, Ashley. Thank
Hello.
You so much for being here.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has. Girl,
yeah.
You've had a whole nother kid since they saw you last.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we're two babies in, and, you know, we don't make it to the office as much, but we're still here and still doing our thing. It's great.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I actually can tell this story from her perspective, but how we met, I've mentioned this briefly in episode 1. I made a pivot in my life at a very strange time to get into real estate. And ironically, I wasn't even coming to a Noonan office. I was planning to go to a different office. I got called in here by the team leader at the time, Patty Max, who was just wonderful. And she gave me a list of people to reach out to. And she's like, reach out. Some of them are teams, some of them are individuals. Try and help them figure, or help you figure out what you're going to do as far as your real estate career. And so Ashley was the last person on the list. And for some reason, she's the only person I called. She's the only person I reached out to. And I'm like, hey, do you want to meet sometime? And then I think you were like, yeah, do you want to have coffee or something? And I was like, yeah, definitely.
And so Patty actually mentioned Allison to me, too. So she was like, hey, there's this, you know, upcoming agent. I think y'all would get along. We're similar in age. We kind of look alike. And so, you know, like, she knew that we would connect. And right. So, of course, Allison reached out, and I was so happy to hear from her. We met for coffee, and it was just one of those things where, you know, it was just very divine moments all collected together. So we met for coffee, and I was really, like, kind of new to being on my own. I previously worked for a team, and then I had been on my own for close to a year, a few months, and I'd met with other upcoming agents before, and just, you know, we kind of met and chatted, and that was that. Well, Allison, we met and chatted, and I was like, so, like, you want to work together? I mean, I don't really think that I'm ready to, like, you know, make a team or anything, but if you want to work, I'll help you, and, let's work together, is, you know, and it so was. The day we met, that's what happened. It was love at first sight.
It wasn't supposed to be, we were just meeting to talk real estate. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, pre-planned idea, like, oh, I may work with Ashley, or I may work with this girl. It wasn't like that at all. It was really just for, you know, for advice and guidance, and we just ended up meshing really well, like Ashley said, and it's been a good experience. We're like 2.5 years in at this point. Yeah, it's pretty
crazy. As long as I've been pregnant and had a baby, and even before he was even thought of.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And so we're A&A Homes now. We made a merge. We partnered together in November, and we're about 6 months into that. It's been going great so far. She's doing her own stuff. I'm doing my own stuff. We're working together on some of y'all's stuff, and it's really, really exciting.
Yeah.
But tell us about you. Who is Ashley McKenzie?
Look, I read this on our notes, and I was like, still trying to figure it out. I don't really, you know, like, to be determined. Well, Ashley McKenzie is a wife and a mom, and a follower of Jesus, and all of the things that are good. I really love to be at home with my kids. We are on a wait list for some chickens. You know, I had some chickens that kicked the bucket. We're on a wait list for the new chickens.
That was really sad.
It was really sad. My 3-year-old was traumatized. He was so sad to lose the girls. I've decided we're not naming these next chickens.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I like to do all the things at home, which means that I really love to get people in homes where they like to do those types of things too. So the home is really, really special to me. I consider myself a professional homemaker nowadays. I have a sourdough starter and a garden, and you know, so I love all of those things. And so I like for people to be in their homes. Therefore, I want them to have a home that they really, really, really love. Real estate wise, I've been in the game since 2017. So I guess I'm working on 6 years.
Yeah.
Now.
Wow.
I'm old enough to have a job for 6 years. Yeah. Wow. Okay. It cool. Is. All right. Just said that out loud for the first time in a while. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Been in real estate for 6 years. I started off on a team. Excellent experience. Mm-hmm. I loved my team and being a buyer's agent. And then, you know, when seasons of life change and I had my first child, I just wanted some more flexibility. So I stepped away from the team, became my own agent. And that's what got us here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I want to say, too, that, you know, A&A Homes is at home with Allie and Ash. That was our slogan that we came up with. And that is something you came up with, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And so that's a huge part of where At Home with Allison came from. It just kind of really meshed well with the branding that we already had. And so that's a huge part on why we are here today as well.
Yeah.
So I really, really appreciate that. And you've grown up in Noonan your entire life.
Yes. Been here since day one. I was born at the Noonan Piedmont.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was something that was really cool for me too. I was just really, I was really appreciative of is that I'm not from Noonan, and so when I came here, I didn't really know a lot of people, and just having that connection and someone that was based here, like, I got to learn so much about the community and make connections with so many people. And so working with Ashley just all around has been really a gift in my life, so I'm really, really glad to have you here. And part, you know, of what Ashley said is that we really work so hard to give you guys a really good experience, and we want you to be in a home that you love. We want you to have an experience selling your home that you love, and we do really well with that together.
Yeah.
For a long time, Ashley was listing agent. I was buyer's agent. We've kind of been mixing and matching at this point to where we're kind of doing it all. And we have so much to offer, and we really want to go into that. today. We're going to talk about March Madness, which is what the kickoff in real estate is for the year. March to September is typically the busiest time of the year to sell real estate, which means you may be able to get the most for your home during that time because it's the most competitive time of the year. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go into that a little bit, and we're going to talk about why you should sell your home now, why you should sell with us, all types of stuff. So let's talk about March Madness.
All right. Not a basketball tournament.
No, it's not a basketball tournament. That is a little bit of a misconception. So when, Ashley, have you found, you know, obviously we're kicking off, is this when people should be getting their house ready? Should they be, like, throwing it on right now? Like, what do you think the process for people should be now that we're kicking off this time of the year?
Yeah, so obviously it depends on your goals. Like, a lot that drives this March Madness time, that March to September, is the kids' school schedule. Mm. So in the summertime, if parents are like, hey, we need to get the kids settled for school, well, of course they're going to want to close by August because they want to be in their new house and get their kids settled and ready for the next school year. And if you have like a 30-day close, but if you're, you know, needing to get ready, then yes, you need to get ready now. So now is the time to get your home ready in order to list it, in order to sell it and buy before the next school year. Right. So that's why these numbers or these months kind of time out the way that they do. I think a lot has to do with the kids' school schedule.
It does. And that's something that, not that I don't think of, obviously, because majority of our clients have children.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't have kids.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, oh, you can list now, you can do this, you can do that. But it does. It always comes back to schedule with children and with work. So with that in mind, this is a good time to start thinking about, am I going to sell? If I am going to sell, do I need to be out, you know, beginning of summer so that I can find something and be in something by the end of the summer? Mm-hmm. How do we line that up?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think as far as how does someone, if they are thinking about selling their house, what's the very first thing they should do?
Curb appeal. Okay. I think that's the very first thing. I think you should walk around the outside of your house, fluff up your pine straw, maybe plant a flower or two, especially this time of year. So I'm talking this time of year specifically.
Yeah.
Give yourself a little bit of curb appeal. I like to work outside in, okay? So once we got the outside in going, then I think that that's a really good place to start. When we come out to take photos, your house doesn't have to be spotless. We don't need the floors swept. We need the closets cleaned out.
Yep.
So we're talking like a really good spring fresh up is going to be your first thing to do. Any like little touch, you know, paint touch-ups and that sort of thing, that could be next on the list. But we gotta come in, we gotta take some photos and just make sure that you're organized for those photos because, you know, like I said, dust doesn't show up, but, you know, shoes piled to the ceiling in your closet do.
Yeah, absolutely. Decluttering is a huge thing, and you don't realize how much it affects photos and the space. When you start to declutter these things, organize little things, it can make a huge difference, not only in the quality of the photos, but the space in the room. Mm-hmm. It can seem so much brighter and so much bigger, and there's a lot of that that plays into the buyer mindset when they're looking online. We want to get them in the door.
Yeah.
Because the more people that are coming in the door, the more people that are likely to say, oh, you know, this house does look really awesome in person, or this house is actually what I'm looking for, or it's more spacious than I thought, or whatever it is. So having that, you know, kind of like predisposed notion that, like, I need to go through and I need to get rid of the things that maybe I'm not going to use or that is cluttering up space and getting that put somewhere else is a huge step.
And it's going to make you feel better too.
Yeah, absolutely it does. I'm the type of person, I do that like 3 or 4 times a year. It's like every 3 months I'm like, let me throw a third of my stuff away.
Yeah, I'm like, looking for something later.
And then like my boyfriend or my mom's like, no, you need that. I'm like, no, I don't. Mm-mm. Absolutely
I
not.
Nothing.
It's getting, we're getting rid of it. I'm a minimalist now to the point that, you know, where Justin and I move now, there's like nothing anywhere. It's just very plain, very simple, but very homey. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so once they get to where they're, you know, they've decluttered and stuff like that, obviously they reached out to you because you're over there or
right.
me or
That's
whoever.
Right.
What do you think the next step is at that point?
So we also get a lot of questions too about like, well, I know our kitchen is dated. Should we remodel the entire kitchen before we sell?
Yeah.
No. I mean, call us, let us take a look, see what we think. There are just some things that you're not going to get the return on investment for. So sometimes it's more worth it. We'll just use some round numbers. Instead of dropping $10,000 into your kitchen to sell for only $5,000 more on the purchase price, well, then you should not remodel your kitchen. So you're saving $10,000, but you might make, you know, say $5,000 less, or, you know, whatever the difference is. But typically a full kitchen remodel is not the answer when you're getting ready to sell. Some fresh paint might be a good idea. It kind of depends on the situation. Fresh carpet is typically a good idea, you know, especially if you have animals and stuff like that. So little things around the house like that might have a good return on investment, but typically big projects don't. So just to kind of add into that and say, like, some things are needed to sell, some things aren't. You also have to remember, whoever's coming in is going to want to have, like, their personalization on the home as well. And so you don't want to do something, like, really big and custom to you just to have to find somebody that has your exact same taste.
Right.
So sometimes that's hard, too.
And two, you know, this is something that many people don't know. When you reach out to a realtor, you're expecting, you know, what do you think the value of my home is, right? Mm-hmm. Well, something that I've really dove into recently is that the market and the buyers ultimately determine the value of your home, period. We could tell you all day long what we think something's going to sell for, or if you put this much into it, this is what you're going to get. And generally, we can get a good idea range of what that would look like, but like the small things that Ashley's talking about, even though renovating your kitchen, you know, might not put a whole bunch of value back into the home that we would think. I mean, it can. It depends on what, how you renovate your kitchen. But the small things, like she's mentioning, when we give you an idea or a range of what we think the market will put your home in price-wise, it's typically based on condition, quality, many things. Sometimes something as simple as pressure washing your driveway and pressure washing the outside of your home gives us a little bit of room to wiggle as far as pulling your price range up. Sometimes it's the small things over a period of time that really make a big difference. And so having that initial meeting and just having us come over and give some of those ideas pre-list is super valuable, I think, for sure, in any scenario.
Yeah, for sure. Pressure washing is a good one. It's a couple hundred bucks, depending on the size of your house. And when people pull up, it goes back to curb appeal. They pull up and they're like, this is home. It's neat. It's clean. It's tidy and beautiful. And this is where I want to live, you know. So, I mean, you can give people that idea coming in the door as opposed to them pulling up and going, oh, you know, that siding looks a little old.
Right.
When really it just needs to be pressure washed, you know. So,
yeah,
just a first impression curb appeal situation. Really nice.
Totally. Things like that matter. What about, why do you think, let's talk about what's going on with the market now.
Okay.
What are you seeing?
So I am seeing, obviously we're still low in inventory. We have been, I mean, for years at this point, you know.
Yeah.
So we are low in inventory, which means that when your house goes on the market, that hasn't been seen in a while, you know, you're adding to the inventory and you're going to get an influx of buyers. I have been seeing things on the market a little bit longer.
Yes.
Not necessarily having to reduce prices. I think that I'm correct on some pricing that we have right now. It's just that the buyers have higher interest rates right now, and so they're having to either change price points or, you know, just a little bit slower to decide because they have the higher interest rates, which are making their rates go up and all of that kind of, or not their rates, their monthly mortgage go up. So we're seeing a little bit of lag on the market, that things are staying a little bit longer, but they are selling still at a really great price.
Yeah. And to go a little bit off of what we're talking about as far as the interest rates go too, you know, if you're, let's just say you're approved at a 6.5% interest rate up to $350,000. If the rates spike up to 7%, then that may bring you down to the 325 max point or the 300,000 price point. And you usually are 99% of the time can't get locked in until you're actually under contract. When you get under contract on a home, typically your lender is able to lock in whatever rate you're at so that if it goes up, in the market, you're still locked in at whatever you were in at. And then if it goes down, you can always reduce it.
Yes.
So that's a really good way, you know, to be mindful that if you want to, this is just kind of general advice. I'm not a financial advisor, so this is not any sort of financial legal advice. But typically, you don't want to max out the top of your budget on any loan anyway. If you're approved for $350,000, you want to probably stay between the $300,000, $325,000 range anyway. And then that will protect you, too, if things fall down. If you've already fallen in love with the home and you're like already wrote an offer on it and then things spiked, at least you know that you're a little under budget, and that puts you in a good position to be prepared as the market changes.
For sure. And that also gives you an opportunity if you know that you can go up to 350 and you find a house that's 320. Well, if you get in a competitive situation to where you have to make a jam up offer, then you hit 330, go over asking price, and then you got it, you know, so it's really wise to look at homes that are under your budget rather than right at that tippy top.
Another thing with interest rates, too, is that, you know, we've been looking at a lot of charts recently and just looking at history and data and interest rates as a whole. When we look at interest rates, 1920s is when housing market really started recording data, and interest rates back then were up to 18%. Mm-hmm. Obviously, inflation, just the value of living was very, very different back then. But over time, we are right now in our national average period. 6 to 8% is national average interest rates. So they're really not high.
Yeah.
They're high for what we've known for the last few years, the only thing I've ever known since I've been in real estate. But in actuality, we're going to stay where we're at. We may very much fall into the fives, but that 5 to 8 range is truly the percentage sweet spot for interest rates.
Yeah.
So I've said this a few times, and I'm going to continue to say it because it's the truth. You can't wait for interest rates to go back to down to 3% because you probably will never have the opportunity to buy a house, and I hate to say that. The likelihood of that happening again in our lifetime is so slim.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's something that you've been on the edge with, there are ways right now in our market. I know we're talking about sellers here, but we're merging a little bit to the buyer side because it goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an expectation that the sellers may need as well.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, is that buyers, there's an opportunity for you to get your interest rate reduced, right?
Yeah.
So like what does the seller have to do as far as that situation? Like if there's a buyer that comes in, how is the seller going to have to match the buyer in order to balance out some of that?
So there's a few ways that can happen. So as a seller, you could expect that maybe the buyer doesn't have the cash needed because they may actually be buying down their interest rate. So there is an opportunity for buyers that can pay a little bit more money and their interest rate will come down a bit. And that's only certain circumstances. I'm not saying that's for everybody. So don't go run into your lender and being like, what I actually said, you know. So anyways, there are instances where the buyer can buy down their interest rate. Well, in that case, they're using up some of their cash, so the seller may be asked to pay some in closing costs. That way, that buyer has the additional cash in order to get their interest rate down in order to afford the house. So you can kind of see that little give and take. Another thing is for sellers, if the buyer is like, hey, look, like I'll pay closing costs, but could you come down this amount in your price? That way, I can have a lower monthly payment, you know, so there's some give and take on the buyer and seller end. And we are in a place in the market right now to where those negotiations are happening.
Yeah.
As to where previously, 2-3 years ago, there was like almost no negotiation. It
Absolutely.
Was like, put your offer in, the seller has 12 of them, they're going to take the best one, no questions asked, we're not going back and forth with anybody. But now we are having some negotiation period because, like I said, stuff's sitting on the market a little bit longer. But yeah, that's some ways to kind of play with numbers in order to make it work for everybody.
Right. And it, just as a buyer in these situations with the interest rates, typically your closing cost is about 3%.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for the seller to do, you know, what Ashley's talking about, like paying some closing costs or something like that, you can either A, you plan to pay that 3% mm-hmm. and then ask the seller for an additional 3% to bring your rate down like mm-hmm. a whole point. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, also like Ashley said, you can kind of mix and match how you want to do that. But anticipate if you're in a situation where you really want a lower interest rate, anticipate that your closing costs are going to be much more so in the 3 to 6% of the purchase price yes. rather than 3%. Yes. And that's a conversation that you can have with your lender as well up front. Of course, we have yeah. awesome lenders that you can talk to and kind of give you an idea of what that looks like. But as the seller, our job is to prepare you and give you as much realistic knowledge and expectations as possible. We are not the ones that's going to walk in here and say, oh, you're definitely going to get this, and we're telling the buyer no to that and no to that and no to that, which we definitely will for some things. But we have to also give you the expectation up front, like, hey, these things may happen. Mm-hmm. These buyers may ask these things. Mm-hmm. And if you want to sell the house, we may have to wiggle a little bit yeah. to make that happen, but that doesn't mean we will. It's just right. the expectation that we're setting for you up front, and I think that that's really huge.
Yeah, for sure, because up until literally now, the expectation was, look, we're going to list it. We're also going to get $20,000 more than yeah. we're asking for, and they're paying no closing costs.
Well, okay, that goes so. Back to the market determines your value yes. as well. We can list your house exactly where market data is telling us right now, mm-hmm. but if your home is just not what people are desiring. I mean, we're seeing a lot of ranch style homes, the open floor plans, you know, islands in the kitchen, the farmhouse style. If that's what's hot on the market, yeah. even though your home may fall into that market value, yeah. your home may just not be as desirable and it may sit longer, which means that the market is going to bring your home to whatever value the buyers are willing to pay for. Yeah. And it was the same in the last few years yeah. with what was going on. I mean, people are giving their finger, their firstborn, and stuff to get a house.
Right, and it was just the type and desire of homes, and, you know, people kind of started, I saw sort of moving from, like, neighborhood style, and so, man, anything with more than an acre, it was like, right. hot dang, we got to get this, you know, and so it was just depending on what was popular or hot in that moment is what really the prices got driven up on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you do. We may do things a little differently. So what if someone came to you and was like, hey, I want to sell my house, like before, I guess, are you going to schedule an appointment to go out there? Like, what's your first step when someone comes to you? Like, what do you tell them first? Like, hey, I'm going to come to your house? Or like, what is your process?
Yeah. Okay, that's a great question. So actually, most of my clientele, I'm really close family and friends with, and I've been in their house already.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, my first call is like, hey, you know, hey, come sell my house. And I'm like, all right, close your toilet seats, turn your fan on. I'm coming with the photographer yeah. and we're getting this thing done today, yeah. son. You know, so that's actually how a lot of mine go. And then when I'm there with the photographer, I go over numbers, have a cup of coffee, pet yeah. the dog, you know, like that's yeah. how a lot of my clients go. Now, if it's a referral, so if it's like a friend of a friend yeah. who maybe I haven't met before, yeah, I'm still coming to your house. So they call me up, hey, I want to list my house. I'm like, cool, what's your address? See you next week. Make yeah. an appointment, and then I get in there. If they have any questions, need suggestions, I give them those. I give them their numbers. We sign our agreement, and then I bring the photographer back maybe the next week. So there okay. is an additional meeting, typically, if I just am not familiar with the house. But a lot of times, I'm already familiar with the home. I'm already familiar with the client, and I can kind of list and take pictures immediately.
So Christian asked a question, would you recommend getting a private appraisal before listing it so Ooh. That you know? I know that's a good question, Christian. That's something that previously wasn't necessary because yeah. it really didn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think it's also one of those things, I've actually been thinking about this a lot lately because people have been asking this question. Mm-hmm. Part of me says, let's do it. Mm-hmm. But the other part of me says, well, what if we do this now mm-hmm. and we don't sell for 60 days
yes.
and then the appraisal comes back and it's different
yes.
than what we did the first time? And then there's going to be a lot of frustration there because your expectation was already yes. set and then you're going to be disappointed. So that's my personal yeah. opinion.
Yeah, I say no. I say absolutely not, because yeah. like what Allison is saying, but by the time you have an appraisal done, you get your house ready to list, you list it, it goes under contract, and then you have the buyer's appraisal. And what I mean by buyer's appraisal, that appraiser is working on behalf of the lender. So they are appraising the property to ensure the lender is making a good investment. That's why you don't have appraisals with cash properties, because there's not a lender investment involved. You can have an appraisal with cash properties, but typically you don't. So I would say no, because then, again, by the time it gets appraised again by the lender's appraisal, if it's lower, you're going to be like, well, I have this other appraisal. Well, your appraisal doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it, you know, if you just like want an idea, sure, spend a few hundred bucks and get that done. But I'd rather spend a few hundred bucks on, you know, something else.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And another way for sellers to potentially avoid this, if we get lucky enough listing your house, is having a conventional buyer that's coming along that is putting enough down, mm-hmm. typically like over 30%. If their interest rate is good, their credit's really good, they can get by without doing an appraisal. Yeah. And that's what's happened with one of our most recent listings that we got our buyer under contract as well. So we matched the seller with the buyer, and the buyer is putting like 40% down or something like that, and the seller wanted X amount, and they're like, look, I have to have this amount that we're under contract for. And I was like, I can't promise that that is going to happen, but we were lucky enough that the buyer came in, no appraisal was needed, and so the seller is now guaranteed at this point to get what they wanted. And that does not always happen, especially in the market that we're in now. Historically, Americans have less savings right now than ever before in their bank accounts.
Yeah.
So it's a very difficult time at this point for a lot of people, especially with first-time home buyers being 37% of the market buyers every single year. There's not a whole lot of that. So as a seller, you can't have the expectation, I'm going to have someone with a whole bunch of money come in here and put a big down payment down to where we're not going to have an appraisal and I'm going to get everything I want.
Yeah.
I think the seller expectation at this point should be that, look, there's a lot of first-time home buyers out there that need houses, that are doing everything they can financially to get houses, and there's probably going to be some wiggle in there, and there's going to be some expectations that are going to have to be set.
Yeah, and it's dependent on your price point too, as to, you know, we're talking about first-time home buyers. Typically, your first-time home buyer is not buying a $500,000 house. So the expectation is a little different. Actually, I feel like the higher price point homes are the ones where this could happen.
Yeah.
You know, the 500,000 plus are the ones where the people are coming in with more money now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So one awesome thing, I'm going to say a few awesome things. First, we have a question from Tyler. He said, should I sell my current property before buying a new one? So, Tyler, that is actually completely contingent on what your lender says. So there's a lot of factors that play into that, and your lender or financial advisor is going to be the person that's ultimately going to be able to determine that for you. So what they're going to look at is they're going to look at if you have a mortgage on your first home still or not. If you do, do you have a large enough down payment to get approved for a second mortgage? And also what your credit and interest rate is going to be plays into that. If you need to sell your home first, that probably that's what's called being contingent. So you would have to sell your home in order to get the equity from that to have a big enough down payment, or you know, just balance out some debt for you to actually be able to purchase the home. So that is completely a lender question, I would say.
And it's just dependent per case. You know, like we said, sometimes people are in a situation to where they can't have two mortgages at the same time, even if it's temporary, and that's fine. You know, that, you know, is an easy transition. Or you can be contingent upon the sale of your previous home in order to buy your next home. And I mean, we have people close their homes in the same day. So they sell their home in the morning and then they buy their home in the evening. And when we can time it out like that, it's really, really nice. And that is actually a really good time where it's valuable to be working with the same agent in the sell, in the buy of your home, because they're coordinating those contracts together. So if you're selling with us and you're planning to buy at, you know, an immediate time, and it's really good to work with us on both ends of the business for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would just suggest, Tyler, getting in contact with a lender or financial advisor if you haven't already. One thing is just to always look at options, guys. You never know if you're eligible to buy until you find out. I will have people that think, oh, you know, I don't have enough of a down payment, or I don't have this or that. And then they actually look at their options, and there's actually many options available. And the same thing for selling. I will say that it is a little more difficult at this point in the market to line things up as perfectly, mm-hmm. because things are sitting longer. So we have to be a little bit more strategic. It's not like 2020, 2021, where you can list your house, expect to be under contract in a few days, and then you're going to close in 21 to 30 days, and you're also going to find your other house that same week, and everything's just going to line up perfectly. So what we would probably see in this situation, if you needed to sell your home, but you still needed to buy something, what we could work out, and this would be a expectation that would be set up front, is we would put your home on the market, and we would say, hey, whichever buyer that comes in and is ready to buy this house, our seller is going to need what's called temporary occupancy, 30 to 60 days, in order to give them time to continue to live in the home until they find what they're looking for. So that way you can go ahead and sell the home, you can go ahead and get the equity, and you'll continue to stay there. I mean, you'll sign a document saying that you're not liable for any damages or anything like that, but that would be something that you would be able to kind of use as a tool to help you match things up better.
Right.
Otherwise, what are they going to do in the meantime?
So otherwise, you could, let me think. So we could even work out a situation to where you would find the house that you want, get it under contract, and then have the same situation, but on the flip side. So you could go ahead and move in the house, temporary occupancy, but you haven't closed on it yet while your house is being listed and sold. So it could work on the other end of things.
Yeah. Or if you have to live with a family member or something like that.
It really just
I mean, people do
situation.
It all the time. Oh, yeah. We see that situation happen a lot. If it's just for a month or two, that's typically, you know, doable, but it's not always super desirable. But that's why we're here. We're here to set the expectation and to give you as many options as possible. Some other things, you know, if you're not connected to us and you want to look at options, we can give you what's called like a pre-listing packet, and it can maybe give a range of a comparative market value of what your home value is looking like. Mm-hmm. We can give you a seller checklist with things that Ashley and I have been talking about as far as the big or small things that you could do. Mm-hmm. We can also give you estimated net amounts for like, hey, these are the three different scenarios we may run into. This is what your house could sell if you did this, or if you just sold it as is, or the in-between. And as far as our marketing goes, what do you think our biggest like marketing point is?
Like our biggest strength in marketing? I think, you know, we have a really good reach. Like Allison said, I'm from here originally.
Yep.
She is now pulled in to be a Noonanite, you know. Yeah. And so we have a really big reach in the community in general. And at the age that we are and the price point that we work and the things that we do, a lot of us have a buyer before the house lists.
Right.
Because of the connections that we have, because of the people that we have that we know their needs and all of that good stuff. So really, I think working with us, the biggest value is our connections in the community. Absolutely. Now, if you're outside of our community, and that would be like Coweta, Carroll, Heard, Fayette, you know, like Coweta and surrounding counties. If you're outside of that area, we don't necessarily have those like in-town community connections to match our friends to your homes, you know. But what we're really good at is pushing our stuff through like social media marketing, obviously through MLS. Everything that we do, I feel like, is really aesthetic. And you don't realize how important that is until you're like in the business and you look at like, you know, other agents who are really successful, and you notice that their marketing materials are really aesthetic. Like there's just something to that really pretty eye capturing, get them in the door, that, that sells the house in a timely manner, you know? And so it's really all about that first look, and the first look is usually online.
Yeah.
I'd say, I'd go to say 100% of the time online is your first look at the house. So it's really important that you stay really pretty and to the T on your online presence.
I definitely agree. I would say that is a social media is a huge strength of ours. Being connected in the community is a huge strength of ours. We also really don't have to outsource anything other than photos.
Yeah.
So we can do mm-hmm. videos. We can do reels for your home. We can run ads. We're pretty versed in that. There's a lot of ways that we can get this out
yes.
to as many people as possible. If you have a unique property or you have a lot of land, we list in the Georgia MLS, which is the Georgia Multiple Listing Service that 90% of agents and areas in Georgia use, mm-hmm. but we can also list it in First MLS, which is a kind of Atlanta and northern area, but it's really just like northern central Georgia because no one north of that area uses
yeah.
it. But Atlanta is such a huge base of people and agents. There's a lot of agents in Atlanta, and there's a lot of people that live in Atlanta that want to move south.
Yeah.
So if you have like a higher end property, like I said, if there's a lot of land or it's just a unique property in general,
yeah.
we'll also pay ourselves that extra fee to get it in that
yeah.
in that listing service to kind of give you
yeah.
millions more eyes on it.
Right, because Atlanta agents, let's be honest, y'all are not very well versed in Georgia MLS. if you want to question me on that, call me later. But
yeah.
Atlanta agents are not very well versed in Georgia MLS. So if mm-hmm. we do have a property that we think would suit the needs of someone coming from more like Atlanta, North Georgia situation down to Noonan,
yeah.
like Allison said, we pay our own dollars in order to market that further on FMLS because there's additional fees to do that.
Yeah, and part of us getting that agreement signed and representing you, and we need the permission to put it on the market, but we also need the permission to spend our money. We're not going to pay for photos. We're not going to pay for marketing. We're not going to pay for extra signs because we just got so many listings that we need more signs and more lock boxes. We can't do all of those things until we have those conversations with you, until we get that listing agreement signed, because otherwise we're spending, you know, money, and it's just something that we want to do for you and we want to pour into your listing. We can't do that until we're your agent. So that's a big misconception too, is that sometimes people want us to come out
yeah.
and like do something before the documents are signed.
Right.
And even legally for our brokerage, we're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But Tyler says, could you draft a covenant that will restrict how the new owner can develop on the land I'm selling them? I plan on selling soon and or leasing. Thank you, ladies, for descriptive details. So there are restrictions that you can place. It's called a conservation. But typically, is that what you're getting from
the new owner developing online? So what I'm
yeah.
getting from it is like, well, I'm kind of getting something else from it. So yes,
okay.
maybe conservation. I'm wondering if he's talking about the temporary occupancy situation, because that's what we just brought up.
Okay.
Right. But anyway, so if you are talking about the temporary occupancy situation, if the new buyer is coming in, if they're moving on to the property before it's actually sold, then they have to keep it as is until it's
yes.
sold. Now, conservation,
that's something completely different.
That's the different
so there's
what you're getting
there
from
is
it, so.
Something called conservation that you can place on a piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, one, it's a huge tax break
mm-hmm.
For whoever starts the conservation is typically the person that carries that conservation over, even
mm-hmm.
if you sell it. If you don't fill out the proper paper, pass it on to that individual, then you know, it'll still be under your name. The thing is that you can pass that conservation on to the other person. If you do, they can pay out of it.
Yeah.
They can pay out of it and get out of the conservation. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you keep the conservation in your name
mm-hmm.
and sell it to buy it,
mm-hmm.
you could be charged for it.
Yes.
So there's really, it's kind of a tricky thing there.
Mm-hmm.
If you were willing to accept the penalty, which is typically the difference in what the tax break is and what it would be times two for the entire amount of years that you're under conservation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few things there that could get you, it could be a little sticky.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like Ashley's saying, if it was where the buyers were moving into your property before then, they would have to maintain it in that same condition, no matter what, no questions.
Could start building
asked.
On it if it's just raw land, could, and knock a wall down if it's the house, you know, it would have to be just the same.
Right.
So, yeah, just kind of depends on your situation. But that's where working, we have trusted attorneys that we use in that closing process. And if you
yep.
come to us and you say, hey, this is the deal, how do I convert this over? Pretty much all you have to do is ask and it's done. We work with our attorneys and they handle that paperwork and it's handled at closing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Christian says, do you think primary home residence buyers are competing against investors mm-hmm. as much as before? And what advice do you have for homeowners to protect themselves from offers that are too good to be true?
Nice.
So,
questions today.
You want to answer the first part of that? Ashley, do you think primary home resident buyers are competing against investors as much as before?
Yeah. Okay, so first part of that question about the competition with residence buyers and investors. It depends on your property. I have a condo listed in Atlanta or Brookhaven right now, and we're seeing a lot of investors coming in trying to scoop that up. There's actually some rental restrictions when it comes to condos. So this condo in particular, only 30% of the units can be rentals at a time, according to the HOA.
Yeah.
And there's currently a huge waiting list. So those investors are like X'd out. However, like 90% of those buyers are investors trying to get an investment property.
Yeah.
Condos are a little bit different. It really depends on your neighborhood. We have some neighborhoods around Noonan that I could tell you the exact neighborhoods that if you're selling there, you're going to expect some investor, some investor offers. Some of them that are, you know, too good to be true. Some of them, they're actually good and they go through and things are, you know, whatever. But sometimes you do run into some problems. Yeah. Allison, I think pretty recently in the last 6 months has had a situation come up with some investors. But all that to say, it is really dependent on where the house is if you're competing with an investor or residential buyer. It also depends on the condition of the house.
It does.
If the house is a fixer-upper big time, then you're going to be looking at investor offers. But, you know, it's very dependent on the home. So we're seeing a little bit of investor activity, but not really anything that's so overwhelming that it needs to be a concern.
Yeah. I think we will start to see it a little more just because if home values do level out, they're not declining. They were extremely inflated. It was the largest inflation jump, 15% to 20% on homes ever. Mm-hmm. So in a year, which is absolutely insane. So what's going to happen is, and this is just based off history, the market data shows that as home values kind of level out, what typically happens is investors like to buy low and sell high. Mm-hmm. So we will probably see, especially in areas where there's not a lot of new construction, because like the age of the home and things like that play a huge part in whether the investors are going to come along and want to buy it, renovate it, rent it, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that we will continue to see investors more and more in this coming market.
Yes.
But at the same time, there are some, there's some fears with it because what happens is that the investors will come in sometimes, like Ashley said, sometimes the investor offers are great, mm-hmm. And everything goes really well and you get lucky, but, sometimes they'll say, hey, we're going to give you what you want for it, or we're going to give you more than you want for it. And then when it comes to inspection time, they want a $50,000 reduction, or they want you to fix a plethora of things, mm-hmm. and it kind of becomes an issue. So this is actually a tool that I've recently developed and got certified for, and this is something that may tie in and may help some of these situations. Mm-hmm. So what we're certified with is Keller Offers. So what we can do is we can take your home. If you're worried about investors coming along, let's just go ahead and get them out of the way up front. What we can do is we can take your house, we can take photos of it as is, we can get all the details about it, and then we can send it to all the investors. So basically the Keller Offers is a system that's connected to private investors all over the U.S. It's connected to like Open Door and Redfin and all those people that would offer you off market. But it works better going this route, one, because you do it before market, you may get a really good deal. They're going to know that you're doing this pre-market. Yeah. You're also working with an agent. Right. So they're not going to have as much leverage as they may would if you put it on the market. And they know that it's no obligation. You don't have to accept any of these offers. You don't have to work with any of these investors pre-market. So you could pull out at any time and just put it on the market and get what you want for it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, Ashley, if someone wanted to list with us right now in the market, what could we tell them as far as time frame on what they should prepare for? Mm-hmm. Like, how long do you think that someone should prepare for the full process if they need to sell and buy? What's like a time frame? Like, when should they start preparing for when they need to move by if it's like a few months out? What does that look like, you think?
I would say from, let's see, obviously situational depending. I know, you know, a lot of these questions are like per person, but I would say 60 days.
Yeah,
I would say you list your house, give yourself a grace period of a month to get it under contract and everything settled, and then on the other end of that, a 30-day close. Or it could be, you know, you get it under contract in 15 days, and then a buyer needs a 45-day close because they haven't sold their house yet or whatever. So all of these factors, I would say on average, look for a 60-day time period from listing to closing your home.
Right. So lots of really, really great advice there, guys. What we want to do is we really just want to be this resource for y'all. We want to be able to give you as much knowledge and much insight as possible. Turning back some over some of the things that we do. I mean, we set the appointment with you. We're going to come look at your house and physically be there and have a really good idea. We're not just going to look at pictures you sent us or, you know, what you tell us about the house. We're going to physically come take a look at it. We're going to give you professional advice, and we're going to be real with you. Mm-hmm. We're going to market the absolute heck out of it in a lot of ways. And I think not being biased, maybe I am biased, but I do think that we have tools that other realtors don't have that we can really use to elevate your experience selling. And we're going to go through the whole thing with you and try to I think this is one thing that both of us do really well, and that's where the At Home with Allie and Ash thing came in. We're really good therapists. We're really good therapists, and we work really well with you.
Yeah.
Like, we want to go through this. We want to feel like you can call us, and, and we're going to understand. There's no judgment over here. We're going to there. It's hard.
It is.
Selling is hard.
It is. And, you know, we've kind of been there, done that, and we typically gain friends after transactions because we work with you closely like we would friend or family. Like I said, a lot of my clientele is just friends and family. So even if you're not a friend or family, you're going to get that same treatment because that's just how we operate. So we do create a very at-home, homey-feely, lovey-dovey family situation when we're working with you. I think we're really, really good at that.
Yeah, I do too. And we adapt to who you are and what you need. And there's clients that we've had that some people deal with hardships better than others.
Yeah.
Some people just don't worry about things and they don't have as much anxiety. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like we're talking about, this is a tough process to go through. And some people of our clients have had bad anxiety through things, and we have to talk you through it. We will be the level. That's like the funniest thing, is that people call me and like things can be, but the world's burning down like on the other side of the phone, and they're telling me, I'm like, it's okay, it's gonna be fine. Don't worry about it.
We're
gonna fix it. Well, maybe. You know,
always, I better not say that. We're
always
gonna get a crazy
something
one today.
Crazy happening, and that's another thing too for you guys to know too, is that it's not gonna be a perfect process. It's not gonna be our fault. Things happen out of everyone's hands all the time, whether it's finances from the buyer or whether it's, you know, a tree falling on the house or whether it's someone losing their job unexpectedly or whether it's a pipe bursting or whatever it is. You know, there's no way for things to just go smoothly. The appraiser might not show up when he's supposed to, and things get pushed back a week. So what is the best advice, Ashley, that you have, you know, for someone as far as preparing emotionally for moving into the process of selling?
Yeah. Go into it with no expectation, an open mind, and definitely open ears. We're going to be there to guide you because we have dealt with a lot of these unfortunate situations. So definitely just open-minded, some patience and know that we're doing everything on our end to make things work. And a lot of times we're protecting you by not calling you with every single update. Yeah. You know, we live in a world where everything is constantly updated. We can check the weather at any given moment. We have all these notifications from social media, and like, we are so on top of things and have all these levels of expectations yeah. and all of that. But sometimes we keep some of the updates from you to protect your peace. Like yeah. we're kind of like, you know, the punching bag, if you will. Mm-hmm. We get the blunt of everything, and then we filter that to you accordingly
yeah.
to give you the best, not only the best experience, but the smoothest transaction possible.
Yeah.
So just know that, like, we're taking a lot of the hit, and then we're working on your behalf with those people, mm-hmm. and you don't necessarily, like, have to know every single detail.
Sure.
I know sometimes it's tempting that you want to know every mm-hmm. single small little detail,
yeah.
but if there's a detail that can be left out that is actually not going to make any difference to you except to make you worry, we're probably going to keep it out.
Well, not only that too, I mean, if we tell you something, that doesn't mean that's actually what's going to happen.
Right.
We could call you and say, I just want to let you know
yeah.
that this might happen.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes if it's a big deal, I mean, if it's something that truly does affect you, obviously we're going to
yeah.
tell you. It's not like we withhold information on anything that you need to know. Like Ashley's saying, mm-hmm. it's just if it's something that you don't need to worry about unnecessarily,
yeah.
we will protect you from that
yeah.
From that unneeded stress, because it's already stressful enough.
Yeah.
You're already worrying about your family. You're already worrying about your finances. You're already worrying about where you're going and how you're going to get there and all the in-betweens. So we don't want to overload you with unnecessary stress. But if it comes down to it, we are the bearers of bad news.
Yes, we are.
We are the bearers of bad news in this
yes,
business. If you have ever considered being a realtor and you can't deal with confrontation and you can't deal with telling somebody that stuff's hitting the fan, then this is not for you. And that's just the point of it. But that's the thing that Ashley and I both really have in common, is we're very direct and we love people. So we will genuinely care.
Mm-hmm.
When we're expressing these things to you, and we will care enough to help you work through the process
mm-hmm.
and kind of figure out what that looks like and how we're going to fix it. And that's something that we're also really good at. We know
mm-hmm.
how to solve problems.
Yeah.
We're problem solvers
for
sure.
Yeah.
So, Ashley, it's been a little while, you know, since we've been on here together, and I know life as a mom
mm-hmm.
is very different. So what's life as realtor mom like?
Man, let me tell you something. Here's my new slogan. Y'all ready for this? I should probably not say this live and, you know, whatever. The rule is, if I can't bring my children, I ain't coming.
Yeah.
All right? So a lot of times I do have help, and I will get a babysitter, drop the kids at the office with my husband or whatever. But a lot of times it's like wearing one baby, dragging the other, and showing up to an appointment. And that's
yeah.
just kind of how the cookie crumbles. And it's always a lot of fun. I feel like my children are pretty well behaved. You know, knock on wood.
They are sweet kids.
So my little boys are super, super sweet. So normally I just drag them with me everywhere, which
yeah.
makes planning a little more difficult, packing a little more difficult, getting all the snacks in the car, getting places on time, dealing with a nap or a tantrum or whatever. But it looks a little different by ways of I'm dragging my kids with me to these appointments sometimes, and people typically just love on them, and it's great.
Yeah.
But if you don't love on them, then I'm not going to love on you, and we won't work together. I mean,
yeah.
you know, that's kind of the reality of my client base these days, along with like paperwork and stuff, like
yeah.
anything that I have to do on the computer. I really try not to be on like technology in front of my kids because, you know, it's just not a good example. I don't
right.
want them to think that my phone or my computer is more important than them. So that has led to earlier mornings and longer nights when I have things like paperwork and stuff to do on the computer. So
yeah.
just a little bit of change in that. But overall, it's still just business as usual
yeah.
with a couple more happy smiles with me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we want you to feel safe bringing your kids along, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not bothered by children at all.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your kids to the showing. Bring your kids to the open house. Bring your kids to our house if we're meeting with
yeah.
you. So we just want you to feel at home with us.
please contact us. Call 678-634-9770 if you're looking to list. Vi mentioned that you listened to this episode specifically with Ashley and I, and we just want to be a resource for you. And as far as At Home with Allison goes, I'm going to continue to do these shows every single week. I do want them to be live here on Facebook so you guys can ask questions. So thank you for just being a part of this and continuing as we grow this show supporting. And follow us on the ANA Homes page. You can follow any of my socials. Everything is at A Waters Realtor, the YouTube channel for this show. You also can do Linktree/A Waters Realtor, and you can get links to our ANA homepage, mm-hmm. the YouTube channel, all of my social medias, and just the continued support for this is what's going to take this to the next level. And I think that the information here is just extremely valuable, and as many people as possible that can see this and be a part of it, I think is going to be great. So thank you so much, Ashley, for being here. I think that this has been fantastic.
Yeah.
You know who to call. You know who to contact if you are interested in making a move. We're so excited to be here for you. I'm going to see you very, very soon. Thank you for joining us. This show airs every single Monday morning at 10 a.m. on WQEE 99.1 FM. Thank you so much and have a great week.
Want to give back to your community in a meaningful way? Cares for Kids is a Keller Williams Realty-founded charity in which 100% of money raised goes directly to children in need in our area. Cares for Kids helps fund local organizations like Angels House, Cowita Casa, Elevate, and more. Help Cares for Kids reach their mission of serving 1 million children. Call 678-634-9770 today to learn more on how to be involved, or text K4K Noonan to 44321 to donate.
Your home safe with HomeScan Inspections. Our licensed and accredited professionals know exactly what to look for in order to prevent safety hazards and costly defects that may be found in your home. Ask about our free roof and termite inspections to ensure all areas are covered. Visit homescaninspector.com or send a text to 770-855-5678. HomeScan Inspections, where knowing matters.
Are you concerned about your roof? Do you have an active leak or damage from a recent storm? Get a free roof inspection from a licensed professional to put your mind at ease. We provide a free report, quote, and a detailed video with our inspection to give you the most information possible. We can also walk you through the process when filing an insurance claim. Visit our website at roofingdoneright.com or call 678-877-4711. Get your roof inspection done the right way.
Buying or selling a house and the inspection has come back with mold? Call the Mold Man, specializing in crawl space and interior mold remediation and encapsulation since 2019. The Mold Man helps realtors get to the closing table by offering a pay at closing program. Visit our website, themoldmanllc.com, to schedule a quote or give us a call at 678-227-9763.
Have you been considering a career in real estate? At Keller Williams Realty Atlanta Partners, we prepare you to excel in your real estate career by providing award-winning training, family-based culture, and lead generation tools to build a business that lasts. If you're interested in learning about our pre-licensed school or how to get started, call 678-634-9770 or visit our website, atlantapartnersrealestateschool.com, today.